Something we've known for a while, but only really on an anecdotal level, is that a lot of the appeal that Tesla cars have had for a while among consumers is increasingly at odds with the fact that the man who owns Tesla is a total jackass. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, Teslas were among the few all-electric vehicles available on the market, and Tesla CEO Elon Musk was a super genius who was going to save the world. Fast forward to more recent years, though, and there's a lot more options for electric cars out there, while Tesla hasn't had a major model redesign in about half a decade, instead apparently focusing all of its design efforts on the stupidest car ever. Just the dumbest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Saw another one on the road yesterday and gave it a very enthusiastic thumbs down out the window. And I saw him see my thumb, and I know it hurt. Because he's the one spending the money.
Elon! People are giving me a thumbs down on my car!
Can you somehow block them from the freeway, Elon?
And yeah, meanwhile, Elon Musk's public persona and the public perception of him has steadily drifted from real-life Tony Stark to... what would happen if Howard Hughes and Henry Ford had a baby with all of their worst traits and also a crippling addiction to social media and ketamine?
Now, unlike most titans of industry who mostly avoid the spotlight, and for good reason, Elon Musk has gone out of his way to not only provide a clear look into his mind via social media, he's purchased a popular social media platform and reshaped it in his image, an image that a lot of people find incredibly off-putting. But is it bad for business? On the Twitter side, yes, obviously. But what about Tesla? We've heard people online and in real life talk about Elon's dumb bullshit affecting their car shopping preferences for a while now. But now we finally have the data. Here's Reuters just this week. The ranks of would-be Tesla buyers in the United States are shrinking, according to a survey by market intelligence firm Caliber, which attributed the drop in part to CEO Elon Musk's polarizing persona. While Tesla continued to post strong sales growth last year, helped by aggressive price cuts, the electric vehicle maker is expected to report weak quarterly sales as early as Tuesday.
And yeah, side note, so Reuters published this on Monday, and that quarterly sales prediction, it proved to be accurate.
Uh-oh!
Here's the Washington Post on Tuesday. The delivery numbers reported Tuesday come as Tesla faces soft demand for electric vehicles, high interest rates, a string of lawsuits against its technology, and controversy surrounding its chief executive, Elon Musk. Musk had warned during a January earnings call that Tesla would experience a notably lower growth rate this year as the company invests in a next-generation vehicle it plans to start building in 2025. Tesla said it delivered 387,000 vehicles to customers in the first quarter, down 20% from the previous quarter, and down more than 8% year over year. Ahead of Tuesday's report, Wall Street analysts generally expected Tesla to report 443,000 deliveries for the quarter, according to Wedbush Securities analyst Dan Ives. Tesla shares fell 4.9% on Tuesday.
So yeah, I mean, Musk said straight up, this would be a bad quarter. So Wall Street analysts tamped down expectations, and the numbers still somehow managed to be even worse than those lowered expectations. Anyways, back to that Reuters article. Caliber's consideration score for Tesla, provided exclusively to Reuters, fell to 31% in February, less than half of its high of 70% in November 2021,
Jesus.
When it started tracking consumer interest in the brand. Tesla's consideration score fell 8 percentage points from January alone, even as Caliber's scores for Mercedes, BMW, and Audi, which produce gas as well as EV models, inched up during that same period, reaching 44 to 47%. Caliber cited strong associations between Tesla's reputation and that of Musk for the scores. It's very likely that Musk himself is contributing to the reputational downfall, Caliber CEO Shahar Silberschatz told Reuters, saying his company's survey shows 83% of Americans connect Musk with Tesla. That's what happens when you become the face of your big company and...
This is what happens when you refuse to take our patented advice to simply shut the fuck up.
And no, he went and did the other thing.
He opened the fuck up.
Yeah, he bought a social media platform and continued to post.
Yeah. It is wild. Like this.
And he said, everyone has to read my posts and Mr. Beast's posts.
You have to.
You will see that Mr. Beast video about being locked in a grocery store 25 fucking times this week. I don't care who you are.
I need to just block him.
I know.
I feel bad, though.
I mean, Mr. Beast didn't do anything
wrong. Yeah, it's not his fault.
It's just every fucking time that I open Twitter, I see the first
I bought a grocery store.
How long could you survive in a grocery store?
I don't care.
No, get it off my timeline.
Why? Like, the average age on Twitter at this point has got to be like 30. Why are you showing me Mr. Beast videos constantly, every day, multiple times a day?
Again, not Mr. Beast's fault. Elon Musk clearly with his foot on the scale.
Yeah.
I've never seen an ad. So, and I didn't even see those Valentine's bears as much as I saw this Mr. Beast over and over again.
But yeah, people associate Elon with Tesla, which at one point was a great...
It was a good thing.
It was a great asset. Wow. Yeah. Not only are these cars cool, but Elon's pretty cool too.
Yeah. I can drive a car just like that guy.
Yeah. He's going to make us all live on Mars.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome. And he's going to save the earth. And
solar panels into roof tiles.
Yeah, we're all going to have roofs that look like roofs, but they're solar roofs.
And
he's going to save those children trapped in that cave with his giant bullet-shaped rigid submarine.
Yep, and he's going to dig a big tunnel.
And we're all going to be getting in tunnels and getting around real fast. Bye-bye traffic.
But yes, as you could imagine, being that popular and the face of a company so large and so reliant on your image and marketing of it could end up being detrimental when you inevitably turn into an alt-right asshole.
Yeah. And I could not tell you.
Especially when your car company is like, stereotypically, you would assume the customers would be middle-aged liberals.
Yeah, it does seem to be biting the hand that feeds you just a little bit.
Yeah.
If you are the greenest car company, but your owner is just on Twitter every day, just parroting the dumbest right-wing talking points you've ever heard. Just like drunk uncle shit.
You're not going to sell Teslas to fucking Republicans in the South. I'm sorry. They're going to go buy an F-750.
Yeah, it doesn't roll coal. Not interested.
Uh-uh.
Anyway, this data from the Reuters report, it's consistent with other surveys about how Musk's public persona has affected consumer decisions. Back to the article. A survey by consumer analytics firm Civic Science, shown exclusively to Reuters, found that 42% of respondents had an unfavorable view of Musk in February, up from 34% in April 2022, when Musk disclosed his stake in Twitter. A modest but growing number of EV shoppers are increasingly put off by Elon Musk's behavior and politics and are now finding viable alternatives to Tesla in the marketplace, Ed Kim, president of California-based consultancy Auto Pacific, said. That group includes Johnny Page, a London-based consultant who works with climate-focused startups and will purchase an EV this summer. It will not be a Tesla. Page, 36, said his decision is partly because of concerns over Tesla's safety, but mostly about Musk's unhinged behavior. I don't want to put a single penny in that man's pockets, Paige said.
Also, yeah, the shame that comes with driving one now. It's kind of like, I mean, at least here in Southern California, they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. But like, specifically the Cybertruck,
you're asking for it.
Yeah.
But even the other ones, increasingly, it's the new BMW in terms of, you see one on the road, you're like, this guy's going to do something fucking stupid.
We're about to see the dumbest driving you've ever seen in your life.
With BMW, it's mostly assholes trying to show off and compensate for other things. Mm-hmm. With Tesla, I think it's a little bit of that, but it's also just people becoming way too reliant on autopilot and other such features and just driving poorly.
Yeah.
But increasingly, like, the cars that cut me off or are just annoying in any way are almost always Teslas.
It is probably morally acceptable to cut off a Tesla because, hey, if it's autopilot, should get out of the way for you.
Yeah, hey, robot, coming through.
Yeah, beep, beep, get out of the way. Hey, your car didn't slow down? Hey, that's the robot's problem, not mine.
Take it up with the robot.
I'm driving the... Look at me with my human arms driving this one.
Human driver.
Yeah. So, yes, it would be unfair to say that nobody likes Elon Musk, but it wouldn't be inaccurate to say that the more people get to know Elon Musk, the less they tend to like him. And his purchase of Twitter has certainly helped a lot of people get to know Elon Musk. Spending $44 billion on Twitter will go down as one of the dumbest business decisions ever, and not just for the financial stupidity of it. And it also pairs nicely with an equally dumb business decision, the Cybertruck, because everyone who owns one immediately runs to Twitter to speak with the manager when their brand new rust bucket inevitably has problems. Just this past week on X, the Everything app, of course, we got not one, but two Cybertruck owners experiencing what appears to be very serious issues with their vehicles, just seemingly out of nowhere. And relatively soon, I mean, even...
One of them is the guy's literally driving off the lot.
Yes, even if this was like a Cybertruck that was one of the first delivered, that has just been 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
It's a new car. three or four months now.
But yeah, check this out.
Elon, what are you doing, bro?
Just help me out. What's going on? Help me out.
So yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I've owned, at this point, several cars in my life. And yeah, never experienced that kind of catastrophic failure.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the one time bad things happened to a car I owned, it was because I was an idiot and didn't change the oil for too long. Learned my lesson. Very expensive lesson.
Well, I had an early 1980s piece of crap for my first car, and it certainly had radiator issues, but it was also, even when I bought it, a 20-year-old car at that point. So,
yeah.
Yes, rolling off the lot in a brand new, top of the line, one of the most expensive cars you could buy, you would hope that things would at least work.
Yeah, you would hope with spending that much money, you'd get a little bit of reliability out of it.
Still love the car though, Elon. Hey,
best car I've ever owned.
Yeah, not only am I an owner, I'm also an investor. Love Tesla, love Elon. Wish my car worked.
Not only am I an owner, an investor, I'm also a member of the cult.
Yes. But please, the car, I need it to work, though.
Please.
Yes.
But yeah, not to worry, though. That second guy from those clips came back a day later to set the record straight. I'm surprised by the amount of negativity towards EVs and Tesla online. However, in person, the reception is overwhelmingly positive. Everyone seems to love the Cybertruck and wants to take pictures and videos. Yeah, they're taking... Oh, gosh.
They're Look gonna, at this fucking idiot.
They're going to all, they're taking all, they're going to post, wow, that's the coolest car I've ever seen.
The guy that I did the thumbs down to, he did the human version of the sideways laugh crying emoji.
Yeah.
He was like, no, he was, you can tell it's happened to him before.
Yeah.
And I just want to be a part of making that guy very sad about his purchase.
He should feel sad. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of X, you'll be pleased to know that despite what all the haters might say, X is actually doing great. Better than ever, in fact. Mm. This week, Elon shared a graph. He said, look at this graph.
Look at this graph.
Showing that not only is organic traffic on the platform at an all-time high, it's actually more than 3 times higher than it was just like a year and a half ago. Wow.
A lot of pussies and a lot of bios. That's all I got to say, baby.
Because, yeah.
Except, of course, hold on. That insane spike in the graph right there, does that line up with any noticeable changes on the platform? Well, yeah. Yeah, it actually does. That's right about when virtually any post started getting replies from obvious porn bots letting you know that they got pussy in bio. Sometimes even multiple porn bots competing to see whose pussy in bio that you will choose. If every single human post automatically gets a pussy in bio bot reply, it makes sense that traffic would theoretically double.
Yeah.
I mean... Anyways, the very noticeable uptick in spam bot activity on the platform, it isn't just annoying. It's also the exact opposite of what Elon claimed his main goal for the platform would be. But despite how ubiquitous they are, we've always wondered what does happen if someone falls for the very obvious scam bait. And last week, New York Magazine decided to find out. They quarantined that computer and they said,
they put on their hazmat.
I'm going in.
So here you go. Kimberly's bio does not contain any nudes. But it does include a link to a domain called Xcos. Xcos links are a common feature in pussy and bio profiles, which often have no followers and rarely exist more than a few days. Clicking one of these Xcos links will instantly redirect you to another domain called MeatDats. Xcos is one of many disposable domains that redirect to MeatDats, and MeatDats is one of many very similar destination links. There, you'll encounter one of dozens of fake sites. Imitation OnlyFans pages, fake porn games with an Electronic Arts logo.
That's actually a real EA release.
It's in the game. A bunch of TikTok-like interfaces with names like Tits Talk.
I mean, that's pretty good.
These sites then funnel visitors through a quizzy sign-up process that suggests access to hot singles / nudes / live videos, etc. is just a few clicks away. Typical profile questions, how old are you, are mixed in with suggestive teases. These women only desire quick sex, not dating. Do you agree to this request? Before eventually redirecting users one more time. All the Xcos links lead, through MeatDats, to the same ultimate destination. A dating site called Provocative Neighbors, where users enter another horny sign-up flow, after which they can chat, for a fee, with the site's overly eager-to-please users who live extremely nearby.
Yes, I'm down the street. Based off your IP address location, I am also nearby this
Hot singles on your street.
Mm-hmm. Is this a picture of your home? That's where I am.
My husband is dead.
I am provocative. Am I getting you going? So, yeah, obviously nothing surprising here, but then they go even deeper. Provocative Neighbors is one of several similar sites owned by a Dutch company called Meteor Interactive. And what's interesting is these sites are basically affiliate marketing for scammers. Meteor Interactive owns the sites, but the scammers running the fake dating profiles and the Twitter spam bots are basically independent contractors who get commissions for getting people to sign up and pay the registration fee. Then, according to one very embarrassing Reddit testimonial, I salute your bravery, sir. There's always those posts every once in a while.
Yeah, it was like, me.
Like, someone admits to something, and it's like, well, at least we all know.
This one's so embarrassing. The dude's like, yeah, don't. It's a scam. And then just explains, like, just how he got tricked by the most obvious scam in the world.
You need these rubes. They are providing a service to the rest of, because there's definitely someone out there that was going to fall for this. We talked about it in a video weeks ago, but it's like, if someone admitting the dumb thing they did on Reddit saves more people.
That lady that got scammed out of $50,000.
Yes, yeah.
I mean,
well, that's
you're an idiot, but thank you for at least letting the other idiots know.
In hindsight of all the other conspiracies that are going on this year, I am now skeptical of that whole story as well.
She was on like a documentary that I just watched that like was on Netflix or something. It was like, wow, that quick turnaround on that one.
Yeah. Well, anyways, according to a very embarrassing Reddit testimonial, these scammers use the fake dating profiles to attempt various romance scams, while the owner of the fake dating site avoids any liability because they're not doing any of that themselves, and also because their terms of service include the following. You also understand that this is a fantasy entertainment service, and that one, the profiles are fictional and your interactions will be with operators. Two, we do not conduct background or criminal record checks on users or verify their identity. And you accept all risk of interacting with people via the service, on or off the service. Look, you get murdered, that's on you.
Listen, we're just here to collect registration fees from morons. Anything that happens on here, those are different scammers, not us. Our scam is very simple.
We don't really know what provocative means, and frankly, we don't want to know. But we just like running credit cards.
It's a very clever, evil way to do this, is you set up just a scammer platform where you're not doing any scamming. The money that you are getting is all someone who signed a TOS that like says, hey, look, we're scamming you. The people you're talking to aren't fucking real and they will scam you.
No, they're providing the exact service that they're claiming they are.
And then everyone else using the site is just a mixture of rubes, horny rubes, and scammers who want to take advantage of those rubes. Yeah. So yeah, that's where Pussy and Bio leads.
You're just talking to an apparition, a ghost, someone who isn't real.
Yeah.
Probably an AI, honestly.
I mean, at this point, yes.
Yeah.
Probably at least a few. So yeah, like any phishing scam, the success rate is probably abysmal. But as long as there's people out there who are horny, stupid, and have money, it can be a profitable business model. Especially when there's social media platforms like X that do seemingly nothing to stop it. Even though he said when he bought the fucking thing,
that was his number one priority.
Motherfucker. Yeah. Anyways, moving on now to the latest on Elon Musk's lawsuit fetish.
Yeah, he loves it, doesn't he, folks?
Now, as you're aware, Elon loves lawsuits, regardless of whether he's being sued or he's the one doing the suing. I mean, in the parlance of the gay community, when it comes to litigation, Elon Musk is neither a top nor a bottom. He's a switch. And not only that, he announced a while back that he would be funding other people's lawsuits if they had anything to do with being silenced or canceled due to posts on X. So he's also a voyeur. And a bit of a pay pig.
Yeah, he's been to all the Pussy and Bio leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the lawsuit that's gotten the most attention for Elon's financial involvement has been Gina Carano's lawsuit against Disney. But he recently added a few more onto the pile. One of them is a case involving a Canadian doctor named Kulvinder Kaur Gill, who, in Elon's version of events, criticized Canada's lockdown and vaccination policies and now owes $300,000 in legal fees. This conveniently leaves out one very important detail, though. And here's Mashable with that.
Dr. Kulvinder Kaur Gill is a Canadian physician who published posts in 2020 on X, then Twitter, that presented her COVID vaccine skepticism and anti-lockdown beliefs in the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic. For example, in one tweet that Gill posted in August 2020, she said, "If you have not yet figured out that we don't need a vaccine, you are not paying attention. #FactsNotFear." Gill's posts were highly criticized by the medical community and were covered by journalists with mainstream news outlets. As a result, Gill sued 23 doctors, journalists, and news outlets claiming defamation. Some of the individuals that she sued were ones who had posted their criticism in direct response to her on the social media platform X. The judge dismissed the lawsuit under anti-SLAPP, Strategic Lawsuit Against Public Participation, law, deeming that the suit was an attempt by Gill to silence her critics' speech. Gill was ordered to pay the defendant's legal fees, a judgment of $300,000.
And did you catch that? The legal fees that Elon is covering are fees that the doctor owes because she sued a bunch of other people to silence them after they criticized her. Very similar to the lawsuit that Elon lost just a week and a half ago. Also a slap.
Yes, he loves to slap. How can he slap?
It's the same thing. Like, he's on the hook for those legal fees now because he filed a frivolous lawsuit to silence someone.
He's a pay pig.
So a lot of similarities here, and that's why he likes it.
Yeah.
Oh, then we have something in common. Maybe they should go out for dinner or drinks. A lot of the criticism was on X. A bunch of X users were sued for statements that they made on the platform, and Elon jumped in to help the person suing them. So that's interesting and concerning.
Wow.
Anyways, that's not the only lawsuit that Elon is funding. The next one is a case brought by a woman named Chloe Happ against her former employer, Block, aka Square, which, interestingly, is Jack Dorsey's company, the guy who founded and used to run Twitter. Here's Mashable again. In the complaint, Happ accused Block of firing her for making two posts on X in her personal time. One in which she purported to be a citizen of Kurdistan and referenced refugees fleeing Gaza in the aftermath of the October 7th Hamas attacks, and another in which she used ableist language and slurs against trans people in reference to gender-neutral restrooms. Both were made from pseudonymous accounts.
The lawsuit alleges that she was unlawfully terminated in violation of Block's own employee speech policy and several constitutionally protected freedoms, including the freedom of thought, the freedom of belief, the freedom of speech, and the freedom of expressive association. Because neither post mentioned Block, she posted both of them during her personal time, and she voluntarily deleted both posts within days of posting them. According to the lawsuit, human resources at Block said it received reports about Happ's posts. When Block obtained the deleted posts and showed them to Happ, she denied making them and claimed an abusive ex-boyfriend must have impersonated her online. A few days later, Block fired Happ. She is claiming that Block terminated her without severance solely because she expressed her political views, opinions, or beliefs in the form of satire that Block disagreed with. My political beliefs are spreading disinformation about an ongoing conflict and humanitarian catastrophe.
And under also the guise of a local.
Yeah. And also just being, like, bigoted against trans people.
Yes. All while pretending silenced to be someone else.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so this one makes a little bit more sense for Elon. But also, it seems like Block could very easily make the argument that they didn't fire her for her posts. They fired her for lying and claiming the posts weren't hers when the lawsuit readily admits that they were. So this one should be at least interesting, even though Elon's track record with successfully suing people, not great. But finally, that's enough Musk news for the day.
Whew.
Take your shoes off. Relax. It's all Musk-free from... The only Musk is coming off those dogs.
That's right. Woo! My dogs are barking.
So let's move on to another guy who is always involved in multiple lawsuits at any given moment. Check your watch. He's getting sued.
Yeah.
And that's former President Donald J. Trump, folks.
Woo!
He owes a lot of people a lot of money. But thankfully, Truth Social, as we all know, it's on the NASDAQ. And if enough rubes buy shares, Trump can eventually cash out and leave all those idiots holding the bag. In the meantime, though...
Very legal and very cool.
Yep. The share price has been volatile, to say the least, dropping nearly 40% in just a few days from its initial surge in investment. I remember I looked last week at what it would cost to short Truth Social, and it was astronomical.
Everyone's shorting this
shit. Yes. You couldn't afford to short the stock because they had already purchased all the contracts.
Sorry, buddy. A lot of people are trying to short this stuff.
Make room.
It's the new meme stock, but
yes,
it's
in the opposite direction.
A very interesting sort of take on the meme stock because it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, but we inversed the meme stock.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, though, Trump is proving yet again that no favor goes unpunished because he's already suing the two guys who basically started the company for him. Here's Bloomberg.
Donald Trump has sued two co-founders of his newly public Trump Media and Technology Group Corp, claiming they set the company up improperly and shouldn't get any stock in it. In the latest legal skirmish over who gets how much of the hot but flailing meme stock, Trump alleges that Andy Litinsky and Wes Moss violated an agreement about the setup and don't deserve their 8.6% stake, currently valued at $606 million. The lawsuit, which was filed on March 24th in Florida State Court and hasn't previously been reported, comes after the pair brought their own suit against the former president in Delaware Chancery Court over their promised stake in the social media company. Trump claims Litinsky and Moss failed to properly set up the corporate governance structure of Trump Media, launch his Truth Social platform, and find an appropriate merger partner. That failure hurt the company, he argues. He says they then began ceaseless attempts to thwart the blank check deal in the struggle for their respective stakes. In their own suit, the two say Trump was planning to seek millions of extra shares, diluting their stake.
I don't know who to believe. The guys who trusted the known fraudster or the fraudster himself.
Yeah, the most credulous people on earth or a man who is absolutely desperate for money, especially right now.
So that's going great. yeah, you'd think after all these many, many years that everyone would understand that helping Donald Trump with literally anything inevitably results in him stabbing you in the back and casting you aside. Hey, but apparently not. If you saved Trump's life, he would forget you the next day.
Yeah.
What? No, I don't know this
Who
person.
Who are you?
Get out of here. So yes, thanks for launching my social media company. Very cool. But Trump really needs that money right now, and you guys are going to need to hand over those shares. Besides, you didn't even do anything.
You didn't do anything. I'm the Trump. I'm the T in Truth Social.
Anyways, moving on to a bit of AI news now. Remember about 8 years back when Amazon launched a chain of brick-and-mortar grocery stores called Amazon Fresh? Well, around half these stores had a very futuristic gimmick. There's no cashiers. There's not even self-checkout. You just scan a QR code on your phone when you enter the store, and then you grab what you want and you walk out. A magical AI-powered surveillance system that watches you the entire time you're in the store. It adds up what you owe. It charges your Amazon account. It is seamless. It knows when you take the eggs. It somehow knows when you take the cereal.
It's amazing.
And then you just leave. You feel like a criminal. You get this little rush. You're like, ooh, am I breaking the law? No, there's a bill. It's on your phone.
That's right. But you didn't have to talk to anyone. You didn't have to interact with any low-wage workers.
No one to look in the eye.
To get your delicious produce. No. Uh-huh. Well, turns out this system is maybe a bit less magical than Amazon would have us believe.
What?
And also a bit less AI.
What?
Here's Gizmodo. Amazon is phasing out its checkoutless grocery stores with just walkout technology, first reported by The Information Tuesday. The company's senior vice president of grocery stores says they're moving away from just walkout, which relied on cameras and sensors to track what people were leaving the store with. Just over half of Amazon Fresh stores are equipped with Just Walk Out. The technology allows customers to skip checkout altogether by scanning a QR code when they enter the store. Though it seemed completely automated, Just Walk Out relied on more than 1,000 people in India watching and labeling videos to ensure accurate checkouts. The cashiers were simply moved off-site, and they watched you as you shopped.
Oh boy, this is crazy. All I can say when I read this was like, well, at least they weren't working for Facebook's moderation team. At least they were just watching people shop and not watching people chop.
This is the ideal remote tech giant job for if you're living in India or somewhere.
And it's also like cool if you turned a blind eye when someone needed formula or something.
Yeah.
Whew. You get it. When you're working at Amazon Fresh, formula's free.
That's right.
Continues, Just Walk Out was first introduced in 2016, presenting Amazon's biggest and boldest innovation in grocery shopping. The technology seemed incredible, but there were some stumbles. It often took hours for customers to receive receipts after leaving the store, largely because offshore cashiers were rewatching videos and assigning items to different customers. The system of scanners and video cameras in each store is also incredibly expensive. According to The Information, 700 out of 1,000 Just Walk Out sales required human reviewers as of 2022.
Jesus
70%
Christ.
Of all sales had to rely on humans monitoring everything you were doing. This widely missed Amazon's internal goals of reaching less than 50 reviews per 1,000 sales.
Yeah,
that's
I'd
way
say
off.
So.
50 versus 700? That's a discrepancy if I've ever seen
they
one.
They launched this in 2016, so it has been 8 years.
Wow. Amazon called this characterization inaccurate and disputes how many purchases require reviews.
Okay, Amazon. Uh-huh. So yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I remember when they first launched this. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's, I mean, sure, makes sense.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. For years, we were led to believe that Amazon had this big, expensive, AI-powered system for replacing human cashiers. And it was certainly big and expensive, but the cashiers were simply watching remotely from India. Mm-hmm. As many have joked, AI in this case stands for actually Indians.
Hey!
And this is basically the modern equivalent of the classic Mechanical Turk sideshow from the late 1700s, where people would play chess against what they were told was an intelligent automaton.
How does it work?
But it was a guy in a box. It was a skilled chess player hiding inside of a box, pulling levers. Now, in both cases, it is an impressive use of technology, but it's pitched as something much, much more advanced than what it actually is,
yeah.
Which is a lot less impressive once the secret is revealed.
Yeah.
Oh, they just moved the cashiers to India and they're watching. It was already creepy enough when the AI was watching everything you do in the stores, but
something even weirder.
Now it's just a bunch of people in India making like 50 cents an hour watching me and like writing down every time. All right. He has picked up an. Oh, no. He put the apple back.
Oh, he picked up chocolate box again. No, don't do it. Don't leave with the chocolate. No. You had the apple in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, it's got to be just demoralizing watching Americans shop.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Don't you think
also,
three boxes of ding-dongs is enough?
You're watching from India, and you're like, why is the spices section just like a little row of tiny little bottles?
Yeah, it's just...
Where's the curry powder?
Yeah, there's...
What the fuck are you people eating?
What is Italian seasoning?
How do you even taste that food?
Oh, mercy. Well, turns out they got us.
They got us.
Not me, because I never shopped there.
No, but, never.
No. Mm-mm. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode. No sponsor. You're the sponsor. Don't forget to join if you want to become a member and support this show. Obviously, make sure you leave a like. That's always the most important thing. Helps the channel grow. If you leave a comment for engagement, that's great, too. I go down there sometimes. People just... telling about their day down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Just talk.
Yeah, just pretend it's, good, it's a chat room.
It's good to talk.
Yeah, it's your own little social media outlet. Anyways, we do have two other videos for you to watch. Did you click the join button? Just making sure. Here's our two most recent videos. We got
Trump social news.
Yeah, because that when it came out of the stock market, everyone's like, oh, then they did the release of the data, and it's like, yeah, actually.
Yeah, this company is not in good shape financially.
And it's going to get worse, folks.
Yeah.
We have to legally tell you that now.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the Harvard Skin Book, so check both of those out, and we'll see you soon for some news dump.
Bye-bye.
Bye.